One of the most demanding things in being a spiritual being is the development of self-discipline. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. One of the most demanding things in being a spiritual being is the development of self-discipline. As we want to develop self-discipline, what do we do for ourselves? What sort of things are necessary to develop self-discipline? Well, if a person is going to treat and be a practitioner, as we all are, the person has to be able to make his statement, make his word, speak his word, and have it instantly be done. In other words, when you speak your word, it is done. When you say no, that means there is no further discussion. When you say yes, that means it is okay, it's complete, that's exactly my point of view. We have not been trained to think in this manner. We have been trained to think in making statements supporting our ideas like, yes, I will go with you, yes, I will think those thoughts, yes, that is my idea too, yes, I like myself and I live in a world of peace and positive qualities and prosperity. Yes, the world is great. Yes, everything I do is fantastic. Yes, I like me. Yes, I like you. Yes, you're whole and perfect. Yes, I am whole and perfect. Now, those are terrific statements, and those are sufficient unto themselves. Each statement does not have to be made further. We say yes whenever we speak our word, or no. Now, that we ad lib and that we put in all this other information, it's just sort of window dressing. But every part of window dressing that we feel that we must put in is an indication of how little we have developed our self-discipline. Because if we have self-discipline, we will say yes and it is done. We'll say no and it is not done. We will speak our word specifically, definitely, positively, powerfully, and it will be fulfilled. A practitioner cannot afford to go around thinking other thoughts. In our practitioner's manual and in our practitioner training programs, we teach the practitioner to heal themselves first. In other words, the practitioner heals himself first of anything about themselves, or whatever their attitude is about another. Now, if a person comes to you and says, I would be made whole, I am sick, I have these problems, we say, nothing at all. We say to ourselves, I am whole and perfect. We say to ourselves, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. We say to ourselves, all is in divine order. Then we turn to the other person, who has spoken or not spoken even, and we see them in all is in divine order. We see them perfect. We see them whole and fulfilled in every way. If we see a need in another, we have the need in ourselves, because we have a blind spot. We have a spot that says we are experiencing that same thing. If we ever feel occasion to tell another person about our previous illness or present illness, which is similar to what they're having, then we have not achieved the wholeness that we are going after for ourselves. We have not achieved the oneness, the purity, the magnificence of heart and mind and spirit that we would like for ourselves. Practitioner, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. These are the words of the Master Teacher. They're so well spoken, so clear, so indicative of what we're doing, that we need no other. We need no other. It is done unto us according to our belief. And if our belief is that all is in divine order, then there's nothing more to be said. There's nothing more to be done except to recognize at all times that all is in divine order. And to recognize that all is in divine order means that we must be positive and powerful. We must be directive of what our thinking is. We must at all times be master of every thought we have. Self-discipline is not a matter of being manipulated by another. Different of our students say to me, "Well, Herb, you're teaching self-discipline, and that is that we have to do what you tell us to do." No, I'm teaching you self-discipline, that whatever you accept for yourself is what you're going to do. If you accept that I am going to say, every time you come to the monastery, every time you come here to the University of Healing, to the campus, that you do not smoke, you do not take drugs, you do not have sexual experiences, you have only experiences of your inner purity and divinity. And you say, "Well, Herb, that's impossible for anybody. That we, if we smoke, we smoke. If we drink, we drink. And if we have drugs and drugs, we have. If we have sexual needs, we have those sexual needs." That's right. You do. You do. And this is what we learn here, is self-discipline. I teach you in such simple, beautiful ways, self-discipline. I say, "All right, today we're going to eat with our knives and forks at the table. And the food is going to be sumptuous." And then tomorrow comes along and I say, "All right, today we're not going to use our knives and forks. We're going to use our hands." And you say, "Well, how gross, how ugly, how incomplete." And I say, "Please go home. You are not ready to be self-disciplined. You decide when you come here, you're going to follow the program, however it may be, and you're going to do so with an eagerness, with a joy in your heart, without judgment." You see, when you have judgment, you are not self-disciplined. Whenever you say something is right or wrong according to a program like we're doing, then you have no self-discipline. Because had you self-discipline, you would have trained yourself to be untouched by these things. You would have trained yourself to do them from the very depth of your heart, and that there is nothing right nor nothing wrong, because self-discipline is something that we're learning and that we're practicing and we're using. And when you have self-discipline developed in yourself, sometimes it can be done in a moment, sometimes it takes a lifetime, and sometimes it is never done. It all depends on our inner conviction, our inner desire to be self-disciplined. Yes, self-discipline starts with having someone else discipline us, giving us a set of rules, and then encouraging us to follow those set of rules that may be silly and that may not. But there are a set of rules that we have decided to learn self-discipline through. When we learn that self-discipline, when we learn to be untouched by the fact that other people have a larger piece of cake than we do. I was delighted as I saw, as we were watching a video with Daddy Longlegs. It was a charming show on a video, and we were having our Saturday evening video. And as we did so, we had our dinner in before the video. And the dinner was excellent, cooked to perfection. Everything was served beautifully. And then it came time for the cake. And I watched one of our people. As they were making a decision, they were going to pass the last piece of cake on to the next person, and they couldn't decide on the piece they were going to take, because one piece was a little bit smaller than the other. One piece was a corner piece, and the other piece was a center piece. And so they took their knife, serving cake knife, and moved it back and forth from one piece to the other for a moment or two. It was probably only a fraction of a moment. And then they took the bigger piece. And to me, that said, no self-discipline. No self-discipline, because they felt that they should have the bigger piece of cake. If they were truly self-disciplined, they would always take the modest piece. They would always take the small piece. Because when we learn self-discipline, we don't need the larger piece. We don't need the smaller piece. We just always want to give the best to someone else. And when we give the best to someone else, because we are self-disciplined, good comes back to us, or comes to us, or through us, in overwhelming measure that we never dreamed could be possible. But until we learn self-discipline, that good remains aloof from us. That good remains beyond our touch and our reach. That good is no longer ours. Think about your own life. What things have you determined to self-discipline you about so that you would be master of yourself? Have you decided you would always wear pleasant clothes? Or are your clothes that you wear to affect others? Or are they to be a joy to yourself? When you go to a restaurant, do you order a meal that is a meal that satisfies you? Or do you order a meal because it is the most expensive and someone else is paying for it? Or do you order a meal because it's the cheapest and someone else is paying for it? Any one of those criteria, any one of those directions that we might take, show how self-disciplined we are or how much we lack self-discipline. A self-disciplined person always is consistent. A self-disciplined person knows that when they speak their word, it is done. Their word is their bond. You've heard that said of people. Their word is their bond. My father was like that. He dealt in business with large manufacturers, with large corporations, and as he dealt with them, he said to them, I will do this for you, and I will get you the best price. Or I will give you a plan which will give me a very happy price, and you will pay the price. Now, they would say to him, Herb, whenever I give a job to you, I have a fair price. When I give a job to some other companies, I have a gouged price, which they have pushed up. They have marked up to such a degree that it's almost ludicrous. And my dad got jobs throughout the Depression time because he was always a fair man. And he was paid well for the work he did because he was always a fair man. And he was given bonuses for work that he did, even though he was not a member of the company, but because he was an honest man, a fair man, he was a man of his word. We can be a man of our word, and we can improve our business. You see, he was honest and fair, and he got bonuses. He was honest and fair, and he got additional funds, Christmas gifts even, of large amounts of money from these companies because they respected him. A man of his honor, his integrity, a man of his word, a man of self-discipline to the nth degree. And this is what my father taught to us, his five children. And this is a gift that we've maintained all of our life. Be self-disciplined. Be the master of yourself and watch your life demonstrate the fullness, the glory, the goodness that you would have. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.